Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rebe. Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
How about playing his first straight game in the National Hockey League? Hello, Youngstown, Ohio. 28-year-old said today, I've waited for this a long time. Michael Hauser with his first NHL start. Bailey kicks it to his stick now for Pellick. West side. Shot scores. That took a deflection near side on Hauser. And the Islanders strike first. It's 1-0. Here's a play in front, and that one gets away from Zajac. Pellick shot tipped in again. Another deflection goal for the Islanders, and this will be 2-0. Bryson will send it across for Thompson. No shot. The pass is off escape. Thompson this time rips one home. The shutout streak comes to an end for Varlamov. And Thompson wrecks the back of the net to make it 2-1. To the blue line with it. Forgan up top. Thompson. No shot. Pass instead. Making the moves now with the front of the net. Chance scores! Rasmus Asplund bangs it in the back of the net, and we're tied at 2 with 8:35 to go in the third period. Face-off won by the Sabres. This is Ristolainen to the net. Scores! Sam Reinhart goes to the bench after the shot from the point, and the Buffalo Sabres have stormed back to take a 3-2 lead.
Yeah, I think you see Sam Reinhart redirect this one in front.
Waits into the corner with a minute to go. Hard pass back to Letty at the line. Islanders with two in front of the net, but they won't get it there. Empty net chance. This one bounced in. Yes! Sam Reinhart with an eye for the net. Sabres already sitting on the edge. Over the boards, there it is, Michael Hauser! No open houses tonight. The deal has been closed, and he's got his first NHL win in his first game.
There are a lot of storylines from last night we'll get to. We have, obviously, Connor McDavid on a rampant pace toward 100 points. Tom Wilson. We have a Tom Wilson battle in the toaster. We will get to that in a little bit. We'll let that one get a little bit warmer. But I think the storyline that stole the show last night around the NHL, not just here in Buffalo, but it happened here in Buffalo, was Michael Hauser in his first NHL start. And I couldn't have asked for, I don't think he could have asked. I guess selfish of me to say I could have, I couldn't have. But the team and Michael Hauser couldn't have asked for a better game for them to go out and play in front of him. And if you're not feeling good about that game last night, that was the best win that I've witnessed in the last 5 years. And good morning, Marty, Craig, Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG. I'll leave it there for you guys to grab onto. It was absolutely amazing. And he's going to go again tonight.
I think it was a fantastic win. Now, to say it was the best win in the last 5 years, it's pushing a little bit, and I get that. Like, San
That's
Jose.
My opinion. I am entitled to
like,
that.
Like, was it last year? 2 years ago, San Jose overtime 10 win in a row on Hockey Fights Cancer Night. Like, that was a special night. That was fans in the building celebrating, you know, Roswell and all of that. And that was pretty big. I remember that.
But last night was pretty big win.
But last night, what it was, is it was a personal story. It wasn't like a full community team. It was a personal story. It's Michael Hauser's story of a 28-year-old player who his last win outside of the East Coast Hockey League, okay, his last win outside of the ECHL was in 2015-16. How many goaltenders, how many players for that matter, do we know year after year go back to the ECHL, the East Coast Hockey League, and still try and hope to live the dream? Like, after a while, you get 24, 25, you get to 26, and you're like, I got to do something else with my life. Like, I'm not out of the East Coast Hockey League. I'm not getting a shot. I was hoping for it. The breaks are just not there. Most players go to Europe or they just do something else with their careers. They move into something else. They go into coaching. They go into scouting. They go into something else. Not Michael Hauser. He's been battling, and he was saying he's been trying to just get the opportunity and get better so he could play with Rochester. And the last few years, he hasn't had that opportunity. And now he skipped Rochester, comes to Buffalo, plays his first NHL game, gets a win. Amazing story. You're right. Amazing personal story. But most people would have quit 2-3 years ago, and he's still battling, which is even better.
I love having Marty on Tuesdays. It's like blowing up a balloon and letting it go for 5 minutes. But I agree with everything that you just said, Marty. And here's the thing, like, I want people to know this about Michael Hauser. They just, you know, they don't know anything about him. He has not played a whole lot of hockey, even in the American Hockey League. He's basically been an East Coast Hockey League player for a number of years. But what you need to know is when Michael Hauser was younger, he was very good. He played for the London Knights in the OHL, okay? He was on the all-rookie team his first year in the OHL. He won Goaltender of the Year in 2011-2012 season. That's the CHL. That's the Canadian Hockey League, okay? He won the Goaltender of the Year.
Yep.
He was an all-star on the all-star team at the Memorial Cup with London. You know, he won Goaltender of the Year. He was the most outstanding player in the OHL,
which is MVP, most outstanding player of the OHL. That's MVP of the OHL. That's what Ukko Pekka Luukkonen won with Sudbury. Like, that's Connor McDavid winning the MVP in the NHL.
That's right. And he also in 2018-19. So from the OHL, he went on to play, in the minors. He went on to play in the East Coast Hockey League in 2018-19. In the East Coast Hockey League, he was first all-star team, but he also won the Goaltender of the Year in the East Coast Hockey League. That's a goaltender that is without question, a guy that can play in the American Hockey League. Now it just comes down to numbers. Now it comes down to an opportunity, something opening for him, because he's not an old guy. He's 28 years old, right?
Well, so, he is, like, when you consider it, he's the oldest player to make his NHL start at goaltender for the Buffalo Sabres. They're like, everybody that's made their NHL debut playing net for the Buffalo Sabres were younger than 28. He's the oldest to have made his NHL debut playing for the Buffalo Sabres. That is, that when you consider that, you say, man, you see a guy getting a taste of the NHL at 22, at 24, at 23, you know, 25 maybe, but 28, that is far down the line.
Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG. Michael Hauser starts last night, 28 years old, gets a win against the New York Islanders. And I loved his post-game press conference. I mean, I love the honesty. I love the, it was just genuine and real. And he's, you know, he says, I'm not really in that great a game shape either. I'll admit that. And I thought that was awesome, but I thought the answer that he gave that was awesome was he said, I've never played behind six NHL defensemen before. And I thought that was pretty cool because going into this game, he knew what he was looking forward to experiencing. And it didn't seem it. I don't know how you guys felt, but it, there were points where I was pretty nervous for him. I mean, when that first one went in, thinking, oh boy, you know, how's he going to respond to that? How's it going to go? He looked really good. Like, did he not look like an NHL? Like, he looked, I'm sorry to say this, but I have more confidence in him than I do in Dustin Tokarski.
Well, yeah, because, and we had Seamus Kotick, and for those who don't know who Seamus is, he's the Sabres goaltending development coach, basically handles Rochester Americans, Cincinnati when they play in the East Coast. He does scouting junior players that are goalies drafted with the Sabres. So he's the goaltender player development coach. And he said, look, he's not the biggest of guys. You know, he's listed at 6'1", but he's maybe not 6'1", maybe 6 foot. But one thing that he does well is he moves extremely well. And that's what we saw. And that's why, Petey, you say, man, he looks like an NHL goaltender. Why? Because he moved really well. He wasn't sloppy. He wasn't staying down like, oh, the game's so fast. Like, he was really sharp in his movements, which made him really look like he belonged. And that's great. That was the biggest difference. You know, Dustin Tokarski doesn't move as well. He's not big either. But some, like, he gets in the way, right? He's got experience. He reads the play, gets in the way. But Michael Hauser, man, he moves really well. And that's the biggest difference.
Instigators, WGR 550 and MSU. What are you smiling at?
We're watching the highlights on the screen right now. The people that are at home watching, he just puts a smile on my face. This is such a great story, and I'm very, very, very happy for him.
I love what he had to say after about calling his parents. You know, I mean, he just, you know, I know someone that knows him. And I didn't even reach out to this person. They reached out to me. And hockey's a very small world. It's a very, very small world. And, you know, you heard about some of the stories, you know, yesterday he was born with bilateral club feet, had 14 surgeries before the age of 2 or something along those lines. And I received a text message from a friend of mine who's a scout in the league and who knows this kid. And he says, Petey, he used the SH. I can't finish the rest of this word, but you know, he said, Petey, I crap you not. Mike Hauser is literally one of the highest character kids I've ever been around. Now, he's not a kid anymore. So we knew him back when he was coming up through the ranks and stuff. But I sensed that in his post-game press conference. I mean, as much as I enjoyed the game last night and him, and I was really on nerves. I on edge for in that game during toward the end. I was nervous for this guy. I had something to root for a really long time. And, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm going through the emotions of what's he feeling during all this and how nervous is he. But then I enjoyed more his post-game press conference because I sensed that genuine character that my friend, you know, displayed in his text message. And I couldn't have been happier for this guy. So I hope people listened yesterday to our show and then were able to tune into that game last night because it was something special. I had, I know Carlo was talking about it today up in Toronto. You know, he was on with us yesterday and he heard the news. He was texting me throughout the game and, you know, talking about how amazing this was. So, I really do chalk it up there. The last 5 years is one of the best wins I've witnessed this team have.
And, I mean, and how they did it, PD. So they're down 2-1 after 2. The Sabres have not won really many games this year when they're down after 2 periods, right? And they were down 2-0 to the New York Islanders. And as you say, like, it could have gone the other way. But I felt like the Sabres, number one, were playing decent in front of Hauser. After 2 periods, I believe I wrote down that they only gave up 6 high-danger chances, which is right around the net. The problem is the Sabres only had 2. They weren't able to score. But what did they do in the third period? And I think it has to do with the fact that they felt really confident that Hauser was playing well, is they go out and outshoot the New York Islanders 17-15. They didn't just say, hey, let's lock it down at 2-1 and hope that maybe we get a lucky break. They went out there and they played hard. And I think it has to do with the fact that Hauser gave them confidence to say, I can make a save or two back here. Like, I'm okay. Just go ahead and play. And I wonder, and I'd like to be able to have that chat with him this morning, you know, walking in the locker room and say, hey, did you tell the boys after the second, like, let's go get that win. Let's play hard. Let's go forward. Like, because goalies will do that sometimes. They'll say, they'll tell their boys, like, hey, let's not hold anything back. Let's go. Like, I'm fine. Let's go. And he feels like that type of guy. So I was pretty impressed with the way the Sabres responded for him in the third period. And probably because he showed enough on the ice that the Sabres felt really good about it.
I'll go ahead, River.
I was just going to say, Sam Reinhart, is it just kind of like starting to become laughable how this guy is playing? I sent in our text chain that we have. How do you take this guy away from center?
You trade him. We'll talk about that at 11. That's the conversation that we'll have. That's how you take him away from center in this team. You trade him. Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG. There's another battle brewing between us here. I think Tom Wilson has become one of the biggest scumbags in hockey, and it angers me to see him continue to do what he does, not on a nightly basis, but on a seasonal basis. He is constantly putting star players in jeopardy. And what he did last night, there are people out there that don't believe what he did was crossing the line. And I cannot emphasize enough that this is an embarrassment, and the word mockery was used, and that's what he was last night. He was a complete mockery of the game of hockey. The game of hockey has evolved so much that this, to me, is supposed to be, this is old school what he's doing. This isn't
new school. Old school. It's not even old school, because if he did that in 1980 when the Broad Street Bullies were around or whatnot, somebody would literally come over with a two-hand piece of Sherwood over the back of the head and put him like lights out. Now, when I watched the whole clip yesterday, I'll be honest with you, and you guys have your opinions. So I see Tom Wilson giving Buchnevich a punch, right, as they're laying down in the scrum. And I'm thinking, little jab, a little punch. Like, I was more upset with the fact that Wilson lean on the back of Buchnevich's head and neck and pushed him down to the ice while falling. He knew exactly what he was doing in a vulnerable player and pushed him down on the ice. I was upset with that. I didn't think it was maybe supplemental discipline worthy, but I wasn't upset with the punch. Like, guys punch each other in the scrums or whatnot, face wash and the whole thing. Now, when I got to rewatch the whole clip, because at first I only saw the 15 seconds of Wilson in the scrum, and then I watched the whole clip, and what he did to Artemi Panarin, that is, for me, that is gutless, that is suspension, that is everything. To pull the somebody's hair while you try to body slam him and try to put his head through the ice, on the and you know the guy doesn't have a helmet on because you're grabbing onto his hair, I thought that is gutless, and that needs to be addressed. So the early scrum and the punch in the scrum, I'm like, that's Tom Wilson, and maybe they'll find him. But when he did what he did, to Panarin,
he needs to be suspended. Look at this. He's flexing. And
Petey, the Washington Capitals Twitter should be suspended by the league for what they did on social media after the game. They literally, like, put pictures of Tom Wilson saying, like, Game of Thrones, like, you know what, like, this is, and then they had a tweet that actually they took down, and it said violence something, and it was a picture of Tom Wilson. That was embarrassing. That was embarrassing. Embarrassing. This is professional hockey. I like the Vegas Golden Knights having fun on social media. The Sabres get involved. Like, that's great. But that was embarrassing what Washington did, like, after you know that your player just made a mockery of the game.
Go ahead, Riv. Do you dare? Do you dare?
I can't
say that any of this is okay.
I can't disagree with any of anything that you're saying. I really can't. I wish I could. I wish we could sit here today And I wish we could have a heated discussion and scream at each other and I can take a side. But let me tell you something. The only thing I get out of this whole thing, the only thing I wish I could have been on the ice for the Rangers.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you right now, I'd maybe get my ass kicked by Tom Wilson, but I'll tell you right now, he'd be missing an eye. There is no question about it that something's going to happen to him that is not going to be good. And it irritates me, frustrates me to see the liberties that he takes against players in this league. We have heard for multiple years about this man playing the game and the liberties and the danger that he inflicts on players that he plays against. There has to be, and I mean has to be, a level of respect between players, okay? And yes, there are the guys that cross the line. But this guy has not learned.
I think he should get a 20-game suspension.
This league right now cannot police themselves. The players cannot police themselves because the players that should be policing are not in the game anymore.
So no, he runs the Department of Player Safety, though.
But let me ask you this, okay? Here's the thing.
That's the guy that needs to set a very, very stiff standard for Tom Wilson.
And there's a big difference when Tom Wilson goes into the corner and hits somebody hard or wants to push him, like really hit him through the glass. Or who was it the other day came across the middle and as he was falling, Wilson was trying to hit him and there was head contact, but it was unavoidable. Like it wasn't Tom Wilson's fault. And we can totally sit here and at times defend Tom Wilson because he plays the game hard. And if he goes in to hit somebody, we can look at the clip and say, okay, he was engaged into the hit. You know, he's a big man. It's going to hurt. That's the game of hockey. And that's the part that I think the Department of Player Safety have been trying to talk to Tom Wilson and by giving him a suspension here and there and educate him. And I think Tom Wilson's been better in that department. And I'm giving him like a big credit. But all these antics after the whistle that
Marty, can I just stop for a second?
Yeah.
So we've watched Tom Wilson play some very disgusting hockey, knowing that he will never have to answer a real bell.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know, this year in particular, Tom Wilson got suspended for how many games?
He had a 2-game suspension.
No. Was it not 8?
No, it wasn't 8. I'm
just looking it up and suspended this year for an extremely dangerous hit. An unsuspected player close to the boards, not knowing that a predator was about to hit him. The player from Boston, Carlo, huge man, 6'4", he's 220 pounds. He did not know the hit was coming.
Yeah.
When's the last time he's played?
Brendan Carlo?
Yes.
Oh, he's playing.
He just came back, did he not?
He came back. I'm looking at his. He got suspended 7 games. And Brendan Carlo, he came back. He missed from March 5th until March 30th. He almost missed a month, but he's coming back.
What are you getting at, Riv? What are you getting at?
I'm getting at this guy is continuing. He's allowed to do this because the penalties that are being, you know, put on him are just not enough. Like, I mean, this here to me, there's one thing I'm going to tell you this. I don't really care what he did to Bishevitz in front of the net. He gives a little sucker punch in the face, big deal. He roughs the guy's head up a little bit. I did that 200 times in my career. What needs to be looked at is the aftermath.
No, that will be factored in, Craig. that maybe you might have done that back in your day, but that was done all the time. But nowadays, that's going to be factored in as a defenseless player and his head driven into the ice. However hard it was a good shot. Come on.
Okay. Yes.
If he doesn't have a factored in. Okay, it'll be factored in.
So I'm going to tell you this: what you give Tom Wilson for that little play in front of the net, a little sucker punch, gives his face wash into the. Times in the NHL. That will be suspendable, okay? And they will look at that. For me, that's not what it's about. It's about the brawl that comes after it. Artemi Panarin jumps on the back of Tom Wilson, and it literally looked like a rodeo. It looked like Artemi Panarin jumped on the back of a bull that was trying to kick him off. Mm-hmm. Now you have this man that's enraged. And he, like you said, Marty, grabs Panarin, who is one of the top 5 players, top 10 players in the world, hair pulled and driven to the ice with force. And now you have that player that will not finish the season. That there is the message that you are garbage.
Could
and you will not, and I mean, I repeat, will not do this to top players in this league, and you are going to pay for it.
Could you see IMSA being suspended for the rest of the season? Not just the season playoffs. You're not playing again this year.
What?
No, I'm
he
serious.
He should be suspended for half of next year.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, okay, so you answer my question. Yes, absolutely. Like, he got suspended 7 games for the hit on Carlo. Now, you know, what did the Washington Capitals have left in their season? They have 4 games left plus the playoffs. And if you say, okay, 2 games in the playoffs is 1 regular season game or whatnot, 1 game in the playoff, 2 regular season games for suspension.
More crap about it. The Bershevitz crap in front of the net, the punch in the face, ramming his face into the ground, that's enough to finish him for the entire season, okay? He's done. I don't care about how many games, okay. Double for playoffs and all that crap. That's a Bershevitz. Artemi Panarin, 41 games. You get to play that game 41, buddy.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Half a season. Well, you know what? The whole league needs to take a strong look at what this guy does. How many times are you going
well,
to
how,
give this?
Well, tell me this. Hold on, Marty. Hold on.
Go ahead.
On.
Yeah.
Tell me this. If Panarin breaks his neck, what's the difference between this and Todd Bertuzzi?
No, I get that, and
we got to stop worrying about what the end result is of the injuries.
But it matters. It matters in life and everything. It matters in life and everything.
But with where Tom Wilson is at in his career and what he's done and the rap sheet he has, where do we stop him? When he kills somebody?
Well, no, but this is what I would do, and you guys may think I'm soft, but I would say, yes, you're done for the rest of the playoffs of this season, and you're missing the first 20 games next year. That would be where I would be at. Now, Petey, you say 41.
Riv said 41. I said 20.
Riv said 21. I think it's the rest of the season, playoffs, and 20 next year. That's where I would be at.
You know why? You know why that's not good enough? You know why that's not good enough? Because people expect him to probably be suspended for 20 games. I can tell you right now, there needs to be a standard with Tom Wilson. This, from any other player in the National Hockey League, you're looking at 10 games. Tom Wilson needs to understand when this comes down, he needs to sit there and go, oh, that is totally unfair. That is crap. That is not.
What if you.
Needs to feel the pain in the decision that comes down. It needs to be an, oh my Lord, oh my God, I cannot believe what they just did.
Petey, quickly, here's the other point of that. Okay, so if he gets suspended for the playoffs, 4 games this year in the playoffs, he's going to lose very little money. Okay, because they don't get paid in the playoffs. He's going to lose 4 games this year of payment or whatever they have left, right? But if you give them 20 games next year and you factor that because he's a repeat offender, now it becomes not 20 days pay over 190 days. It becomes a quarter of your salary. What's Tom Wilson making? Rivs, you know the numbers right off the top of your head.
5.3, 5.5.
$5.1 million, okay? 5.16, and next year in salary, he's making $6 million in salary, okay? $6.1 million. So a quarter of that is $1.5 million. If you suspend him 20 games next year, he loses $1.5 million. If you suspend it 41 games, he loses $3 million. That will hurt. Getting fine and losing $40,000, $50,000, yeah, but losing $1.5 million, that would hurt.
You know what? I've changed my mind. Give him a year.
Him for the whole year, $6 million.
The whole year, boom. Gone. The whole year. You wanna make a statement? You wanna wake 100%. the entire hockey world?
I don't disagree.
What's acceptable? What's not acceptable? You know what? Take a seat for a year, forfeit your $6 million, and come back rejuvenated. You know.
And he still has two more years left to his deal after that. So it's not like he's not going to ever play again. But I don't disagree. I think that you could definitely suspend him for the year. I think they're going to give him the rest of the year and maybe some games next year. I would give him at least 20 next year. Rivs goes for 41. PD, you go the whole year. I don't disagree at all.
You don't think some of the star players around this league are saying, so if you don't take care of this, is that going to be acceptable for guys to do to us on a regular basis? Like your Crosbys, your McDavids, your Eichels.
If I'm Crosby... and McDavid and those guys, I think through my agents, there's a call to the league. Saying,
yeah, like, you think? Yeah. I think so. I think
I Crosby could say, like, that could be me in the first round of the playoffs.
100%.
Where he can do that to me? Like, come on.
I agree with that. Matt Barzell, same thing. All these guys. Like, he's going to be allowed to play against us after that. We got to go to break. We have Disserdak coming up next. A blooper reel involving some bloodlines here on the Skaters. WGR 550 and MSG. Stick around. Sabres tonight again. Islanders 7 o'clock puck drop, 6:30 pregame show, and 6 o'clock on WGR 550. We'll be right back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're back with more of the Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome back to the Instigators. It's time for This or That. But just before we go into This or That, the NHL player safety just announced via tweet that Tom Wilson has been fined $5,000, the maximum allowable under the CBA, for roughing New York Rangers Pavel Buchnevich. That is unreal that they announced it like that this morning. I hope that we have another tweet coming up saying the NHL and Tom Wilson will have a hearing on his action against New York Rangers Artemi Panarin, because that would be laughable. That would be laughable if that just stays at $5,000 for what he did to Pavel Buchnevich. But what I said to you guys last night.
It can't be.
What I said to you guys earlier, I said when I saw the roughing on Buchnevich, the punch, I was like, ah, you know what? There's a lot of things that happen in those scrums. You know what? Like, okay, fine him. But then when I saw what he did to Panarin, I'm like, just throw the book at him. Just throw the book at him. But now they announced $5,000. So unless somebody hijacked the Washington Capitals Twitter last night and tweeted all these things, and that same person was able to hijack the player safety's Twitter this morning to put that out, I think that's a complete joke. But anyway, This or That, complete joke or complete joke? PD, go with it first.
I can't comment because I feel like there's going to be more to this.
I hope so. I would think so too. Okay. Rivs, you say complete joke too. So let's move on with This or That, because let's lighten it up a little bit. I'm sure we'll discuss it a little bit more later in the show as well. Sabres played tonight against the Islanders. Michael Hauser, great story last night. He's getting the start tonight again. Former Sabres goaltender Robin Lehner was in net last night for the Vegas Golden Knights against the Minnesota Wild. He had a couple of blooper events. One was he gave up a goal while playing with his stick upside down. He went to pick up his stick, and as he stood up to face the shot, his knob is on the ice and his blade is up in the air. So there's a blooper for you. And the other blooper, Rivs, I'm sorry to bring it up, but it's your cousin, Mackenzie Weegar, who's trying to make a D-to-D pass, and he puts it in his own net, going through Spencer Knight's legs. So a bit better blooper last night, the Robin Lehner stick upside down or Mackenzie Weegar own goal. We'll start with you, Rivs, This or That.
I'm going to go with the goaltender that has the stick turned over, because I can't go against my cousin, Mac. I think Spencer Knight needs to be ready for everything, and it's the goaltender's fault on that.
Okay, This or That, PD. Lehner's stick upside down or Mackenzie Weegar scoring his own goal?
I'm going to say Mac Weegar's is a better blooper, and I'll tell you why. Because they end up winning the game. He gets an assist on the game winner in overtime. He picks up a goal and two assists in the game. So it really doesn't play a factor, where Vegas loses the game, so it stings a little more. Mac Weegar can go in and laugh after the game, and that makes it a blooper. And then you got the other guy that's got to go in there and deal with the loss. So that's real.
I'll say this. We see D-to-D passes, and sometimes they come close to the net and scoring their own net, depending on where you are. So I think it happens. I've rarely seen a goaltender grab his stick, and he had plenty of time to get his stick. Robin Lehner did. And by the time Minnesota reattacks, he's got it upside down. That, to me, was hilarious. That was the better blooper, but I could see both points. Okay, next. Carolina Hurricanes have to re-sign Rod the Bod Brind'Amour. His contract as the head coach is expiring. Now, Elliot Friedman, big contributor on this show, in his podcast, mentioned that the holdup right now for Rod Brind'Amour to sign his contract with the Carolina Hurricanes is that he wants his staff, and I'm not just talking assistant coaches, video coaches, goalie coaches, he's talking equipment manager, athletic trainer, he wants his whole staff to be given extensions. because all this staff is their contract expires at the end of the year. So that's a big undertaking. But Rod DeBod is saying, I'm not coming back and I'm not signing a contract until all my staff is taken care of, and then we'll sit down. So that could complicate things. I'm asking you guys, Carolina or anywhere else in the league, the next year's position for Rod Brind'Amour as a head coach, PD, this or
he's
that?
He's only doing that to buy himself some more time. It's going to take them forever to sign those contracts for all those people. And it's going to allow him a little more time to hit free agency and see what's out there.
That's pretty smart. I like your thinking.
Then he has a way out if they say, well, we weren't thinking about bringing back Gary, but, you know, what do you think about that? He's like, well, I want Gary back here. Get Gary signed. And then he can buy himself a little more time. I don't know who Gary is. I'm just thought
maybe the stick boy. Maybe a stick boy.
Yeah, it could be.
He wants better tips.
The ticket sales office.
Ribs, Carolina Hurricanes or anywhere else in the league for Rod DeBod Brind'Amour to coach next year?
Unfortunately, regrettably, he will return to Carolina. But I just think he is a real deal NHL coach. I think he's done wonders with that team that he has in Carolina, building that environment. And I just love listening to this, that he is not only taking care of himself, but he's taking care of the entire environment that he's built. Okay, to give these players an opportunity to win, he needs the players or all the people around them to be taken care of.
Yep.
And I just love what he's doing right now, making sure that everybody is taken care of before he signs his contract. Because I got to tell you, he is going to be the standard moving forward for a lot of these coaches in the NHL. So he's, I hope that he steps up and gets paid.
Well, good on Rod DeBod Brind'Amour, and good on the Carolina Hurricanes to entertain even the idea. Okay, let's get the staff taken care of and move forward. Okay, so Alex Pietrangelo at the morning skate the other day, optional morning skate, went on the ice with just shorts and a sweatshirt on to just, you know, feel the puck and skate around. So originally the this or that we put in the rundown was, you know, skating in shorts, yay or nay. But then I look back at the video, and actually Pietrangelo has shorts on and he has his helmet on. I don't know if you guys remember going out for a troll morning skate and Rivs. I don't know if you've ever done it, but I'm like, why does he have his helmet on? So what's the worst look here, to have shorts on or to actually have his helmet and visor on as well? Which one's worse, the shorts or the helmet for a casual stroll out there for morning skate? Ribs, you go first.
I have never done this in my time, but Alex Pietrangelo can do whatever he wants. He's a monster. He's one of the best defensemen in the league. I love the way this man plays the game. And if he just wants to go out for a little twirl with some shorts on, I'm all good with it. And if he wants to stay safe, put your helmet on, because you never know what could be flying off the glass, crossbar, this, that, and the other. So I like this look. I'm good with it.
Petey, what's the better look, or what's the thing that you would do, skating in shorts or putting your helmet on? And I don't talk about your Yofa, the little piece of plastic you put on your head. I'm talking about a real helmet and visor.
I have terrible calves, like Johnny Drama. I wouldn't wear shorts on the ice. Quads were good, hamstrings were good, butt was good, calves were so I would not be wearing shorts.
Okay, I could see you putting your helmet on just to like be safe again. Maybe you'd put the Jofa.
Well, I wouldn't wear a helmet either, but you told me to pick one. I'd okay. Let the hair whip in the wind out there.
Oh, you do. Okay, sounds good. Did you guys watch the Kentucky Derby on Saturday? Did you guys give it a look? Did you guys put a little money on the ponies? No,
I did not.
Oh, okay. Oh, I wasn't sure. So anyway, there was some pretty big names at the Kentucky Derby. Obviously, celebrities are on hand. There was 50,000 people at the Derby, which was kind of nice to see, and a little weird at the same time to see so many people there. But Aaron Rodgers was at the Kentucky Derby, and Tom Brady was also at the Derby. So I'm asking, better dressed at the Derby? I guess that's the question. Best dressed at the Derby, Rodgers or Brady? better derby outfit, this or that? Petey, go first.
I'd rather read you the text I sent about the derby the other day. I said I have no interest in watching a puny man whip a horse to the finish line so someone can make a ton of money selling their sperm. That's what I said about the derby. I'd say Tom Brady's hat.
I'm super disappointed in both their outfits. Like, you're going to the derby, you need flash and dash, you need color, you need huge top hat that's like at least minimum 2 feet high.
Is the top hat for the men too? Like, I know the women have the
one at the derby. Like, you gotta have a little pizzazz. Like, Aaron Rodgers, are you kidding me? That is a terrible suit, terrible shirt. At least Tom, he's dressed up, he's nice and neat, he's got a little hat on, the shades, he's looking a little derby-ish, but come on, Aaron. You're better than this. This okay. Looks awful.
Or maybe he's counterculture and he doesn't want to be go along with all the riffraff. Maybe he just wants to be there because he actually wants to be there. Maybe he's not there just to be seen.
I want to say Aaron Rodgers wants out of Green Bay, so he didn't want to be seen. He didn't want to make a look and people recognize who he is. So he just went to his box, put his shades on, and that was it. I actually dislike the Tom Brady look. I think he looks almost like too done up. Like, I don't like the look. I just don't. But anyway, that's just me. And this was this or that. We have other things to get to, but maybe we'll get to it later in the show. We still have to talk Tom Wilson. We have to talk Sabres, Michael Hauser, Stefanos Lakis, who's the backup. Like, who is this guy? Like, maybe we'll chat about him a little bit. He could see some action before the end of the season. Who knows? Another guy that just got his first AHL win under his belt a couple of weeks ago or last week. So, plenty more here on The Instigators with Petey Rivs and myself here on WGR 550 and MSG.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Back with more of The Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
All right, welcome back. You know, there's something else going on around the league, as I mentioned all the way at the start of the show. Connor McDavid, and, you know, I didn't think that he would be closing in this quickly, but another 4 points last night puts him at 91, gentlemen, and you know, he has four more games against Vancouver, or four games left, three against Vancouver, from what I understand. He's going to get 100. He'll get 100.
He's on pace for 99, right? Like, if he considered his point per games?
Well, I think with what he's been doing, he's heating up. That's what I was watching, is Mike Kelly was showing his 10-game increments on the NHL Network today. Yeah. We're showing how he just kept, I think, like 17 points and then 15 points, 10 points, and now he's at 23 points, I think, in the last 10 games or something. So
he has six games left, four against the Vancouver Canucks, one tonight, and then two against the Montreal Canadiens. Like, he's definitely getting to 100. And, like, there's no doubt, unless they rest him. But, again, like, he's going to get to 100 this week. He has three games against the Vancouver Canucks. He's getting to 100 this week.
They asked him about it. Oh.
That's a great point. Do they rest him? Do you rest Connor McDavid?
Well, I think so. I think they actually, they play this week, and then, you know, the Sabres end on Saturday. The Vancouver Canucks, Calgary Flames, Montreal Canadiens, Edmonton Oilers, they all play an extra week to reallow the games to be scheduled for COVID. So he's only going to play three games next week. Maybe you give him the last one off, you know, the last two, but he's still going to play four or five games. So he's still going to get, he's going to get 9 points in three games anyway this week, and then you can rest him.
The three games going into last night, he was 23-16, 23-37, 22 minutes of ice time. And last night he was at 18-40. So, I mean, is there a way that they can dress him every game and rest him just less, a little less ice time?
Play him on the power play.
Just get him his points.
Well, did you see Draisaitl dished over to him late in the game last night for the empty netter, and he was happy to take it.
Oh, yeah.
He's happy to take it.
I would take it, too.
I
just looked at the stats. Like, Connor McDavid, since 1995-96, okay, only one player had over 150 points in a season, and that's Mario Lemieux in 95-96. So over the last 25 years, only one player went over 150 points. Mario had 161 that year. Connor McDavid could go 150 points easily in the season. He's getting better. He's going to play 80 games, 2 points a game. That's 160, right? He could get to 150. We haven't seen that in 25 years. That's the level that he's at right now. Connor McDavid is at that level.
Well, they asked him last night after the game in those interviews when he's down by the bench with the headset on, and they asked him about the I can't believe they asked this question to him, but they said, you're probably not aware of this, but there's a big debate going on social media about who's the MVP. Is it you or what your buddy Austin Matthews is doing in Toronto? And, you know, McDavid's never going to, you know, he just gave the token answer, seemed a little irritated by it. But at the end of the day, what's the bigger feat, what he's doing or what Austin Matthews is doing?
What Connor McDavid is doing 100%. And the reason why? He's got 31 goals. It's not like he's got 15 goals and 85 assists. And even to that point, the sheer number of points that he has is, to me, is so impressive. But he's not that far behind Matthews in goal scoring. That's like, people don't talk about it enough, I believe.
You know, it's amazing when you sit there and you go and look up. So you were saying, Marty, that Mario Lemieux in 1995-96 had, in 70 games, 69 goals and 161 points. Okay. Yep. There hasn't been a guy that's even come close to that in many years. Right. But it is truly amazing when you sit here and you look at these point totals from Wayne Gretzky. I mean, they are, all you see is Wayne Gretzky and Mario Lemieux, and you throw in an odd Steve Yzerman or Phil Esposito. I mean, it's just incredible the amount of points that Wayne Gretzky put up in a year. 215 points in one NHL season. I look at that and I'm like, what can Connor McDavid do in his very best year? Is he going to surpass 150?
Connor McDavid? What can Connor McDavid do?
You know what he was trying to say. What can Connor McDavid do? But he can get – I say he's going to get 150 one year. He's going to get to 150 at least a year. A healthy 82-game season, boom, 150.
A globally famous divorce taking place. We'll talk about that at 11 o'clock. I never thought I would have seen this coming. And, gentlemen, Melinda Gates – is available. So put your resumes together. Bill and is it Melinda?
Yeah.
Who would have thought? I thought they were the happiest couple on earth. How, like, honest to God, I thought they were. We'll talk about that. That's what we do around here. You talk about celebrity. Are they celebrities? I guess they're celebrities. Their gossip. Yes. Instigators. The Gates divorce coming up next.